Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Braves podcast brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Sticking with you through all of the COVID-19 craziness as we are ready and raring to get baseball back underway. There is a sort of quasi-announcement for that, but before we get anything started, I do have somebody joining me today, and it's a very special person. It is my good friend, my colleague, my esteemed peer, and my co-host of the Platinum Sombrero, Doc Herbert, joining me today. Doc, this is a little different for you. This was a spur of the moment as we were getting ready to record TPS, but I know my listeners are glad to hear you.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be here. Hey, everybody who has never heard my voice before. This is what it sounds like when I talk.
This is what it sounds like when we use our old school method of recording. I'm sorry, I'm being a little bit lazy, a little bit unfocused today as some other news, just some happy time news. I did get to feel my son move for the first time today, so I'm a little bit off kilter. So I've got Doc here to kind of rein me in, make sure that I stay semi-focused. So, Doc, I know the listeners appreciate you.
I'm doing my best, man. But that's an exciting moment. You should be, you know, you should be feeling really good about that. I mean, you're going to be a dad here within the next couple months, so enjoy every step.
There's not a lot that could bring me down right now, but... That being said, we are inside the top 20 on our prospect breakdown, our top 30 breakdown. The other day, Doc, I did do one of your favorite players in Daisbell Hernandez. You and I have a big-time love for him. And tomorrow, it's important to note, tomorrow we'll be previewing one of Doc's absolute favorite players in the system and a guy that Doc was on before literally anybody else in the country. So make sure you're tuning in for that tomorrow. But without further ado, we got a limited time. Let's get this underway. Our number 18 prospect that I wrote down, and it should be stressed that this is my personal top 30. This is not anything from anybody else. But number 18, the second round pick in 2018, Grayson Genista, who I mistakenly called Grayson Genista for like the last 2 years. Genista was a I don't want to say he was a reach, but coming out of college, he was a kind of a bigger name. A little bit more was expected out of him his senior year, especially when you consider he was teammates with Alec Bohm. But Doc, correct me if I'm wrong, Genista was kind of better than Bohm, I'll say, their junior seasons. And then the final season was when Bohm kind of broke out. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's right. And Genista was the Cape Cod League MVP the previous summer. And he was projected as a first-round pick coming into the 2018 draft. And then he just started to press. And then when the Braves got him that year, I think he was 45th pick, somewhere around there. I thought it was a really good pick just based on the pedigree. But yeah, by the time he got to pro ball, he was really just not performing at all.
Well, that's one of the guys that we talked to with Brian Bridges. I cut up the Brian Bridges interview for the Locked On guests a few days ago, and Genista was one of the prominent names that we were talking about. He's a big guy, 6'3", listed at 210, probably closer to 225, 230 at this point. But he's a lot more athletic than you'd think looking at him. You see him and you kind of picture first base, but he's handled the outfield pretty well. It's kind of looking more like the Braves might try to keep him in the outfield, particularly with how difficult it's been for him to get the power up and going. Now, it's important to note that he did struggle mightily above Rome, which is not shocking for hitters. Florida and Mississippi are basically just hellscapes for any offense. But they did also implement a swing change in 2019, trying to create a little bit more loft so you can get to that above average raw power and get to it in games. So, Doc, you and I always talk about this off air, really, when you and I are just talking about how important it is to kind of know what's going on with some of these low minors players instead of just scouting the stat line. Do you think Genista is one of those too, or do you think it's more of just he just hasn't worked out so far?
I think that if you are going to scout the stat line, then you kind of have to dig deep if you're looking for something that's going to be really inspirational. When you look at his numbers in Florida, they were not really inspiring at all. He was had a .223 batting average, .312 on base, .361 slugging, and hit 4 home runs in 56 games. That is nothing to write home about. And then he wound up getting promoted after that, inexplicably. And then he struggled even more when he got to Mississippi. But if you look at how he did after he'd been in Mississippi for a month, he hit .280, .346 on base, .393 slugging, and wound up with 5 home runs at that level in 76 games. So playing in these really difficult parks to hit in, as far as the power, you know, you see him hit 9 home runs. You don't think it's going to be that, that's not too much, but in those environments, that is actually kind of inspiring. So he ended the year on an upward trajectory, which hopefully that will, whenever the season starts, that will give him something to build on. And it takes a while for swing changes to really implement themselves and do what they're supposed to do. So you think about how many swings a player takes in the course of his career. So making tiny little incremental changes can be difficult to implement in the long term. So hopefully all of that stuck with him.
And I guess we should also point out that while 9 home runs across both levels doesn't seem like a lot, it did more than double his totals from 2018. So you could say the swing change did access a little bit more power. Unfortunately, the strikeout rate also soared, which is kind of one of the better things for him coming into the season. Now, that could also be a product of just moving up in levels and facing better guys. But when we talk about the swing change, and a lot of people might wonder, why would you change the guy's swing if he was hitting, if he was good enough to be a second round pick before? Well, the problem with Grayson is there's not a real path to playing time unless he starts accessing some power. Obviously, you're not going to have a guy playing first base that's going to hit like 12 home runs. The James Loney days are over in Major League Baseball. You really don't want a right fielder or a left fielder who's, you know, going to hit 12 home runs. Those are big power positions. And it's not even just the home runs. His slugging has been supremely subpar throughout his entire tenure. So even if he doesn't hit more home runs, he's got to find a way to access more extra base hits, because singles guys, as we've seen over time, unless you're a certain right fielder for the Atlanta Braves or a certain bench outfielder for the Atlanta Braves now, singles don't do much for you, especially when you're a big guy like Grayson. They especially don't do anything when you're young and trying to come up and make a name for yourself. So he's got to find a way to access some sort of extra base power more consistently if he has any hope of being in Atlanta. And that's kind of, and I don't want to sound pessimistic on Grayson, because there's a reason why he was thought of as a first round guy. There's just not a lot that he can do in my mind to really be a part of the future in Atlanta, if that makes any sense.
I think so. And also, when you look at the road to the show for him, then you've got Ronald Acuna already there. You've got Christian Pache and Drew Waters, who are the vaunted prospects in the system. That's 1 and 2. So that's a full outfield right there. And then you've got Michael Harris, who I believe that you spoke about earlier this week, who has probably leapfrogged him on the depth chart. So
also Trey Harris.
Also Trey Harris, and also Justin Dean, friend of the Platinum Sombrero.
Justin, by the way, should have got the promotion that Grayson got, if we're being fully honest.
Absolutely true. And when you're looking at what Grayson has to do, I'm not even trying to pronounce his last name, because I know if we're saying a Genesta, then that we'll find out later that that's wrong too. He does have a lot to do, but like I said, he ended on an upward trajectory, and hopefully that swing change stuck for him. And I don't think that he is deserving of another promotion to get out of that environment, because he struggled every time he's been promoted. But when you see guys playing in those environments, sometimes you do have to take the actual stats with a grain of salt. They can't all be Ronald Acuna.
Absolutely. And it's important to note that a lot of times the Braves, when they want a prospect to work on a specific thing, they will tell that prospect not to worry about the numbers. Similarly to Alex Jackson, who they told they didn't care about his offensive numbers. They just want him to get better defensively behind the plate. And now he's one of the better defensive catchers that you'll see. But with Genesta, it's a lot like Trey Riley, who I mentioned earlier this week. It is a huge season for his prospect future, and I'm not saying that in a good way. I struggled putting this list together to not put the high school kids ahead of him, because I think the high school kids are much higher upside. There's a lot of players with higher upside than Grayson right now. Really, this is a big fall for Grayson from where he would have been a season ago and really coming out of college. If he puts it all together, he could be a very good regular. I mean, he's got good speed for his size. He's got good raw power. He knows what he's doing at the plate. He's willing to take walks. So if he can put it all together, he's a big league regular. The problem is, that's looking like a very, very big if. Which kind of leads me to the comparison. If you guys notice, I've gone with some pretty heavy comparisons on some of these. I told you guys the other day why I choose to do ceiling comparisons more than floors. I don't like doing floor comps because to me they're boring and it's more about safety for me than it is for actually being excited about the player. But for Grayson, I can't make myself see a big league regular. I'm going to throw this out at you, Doc. You tell me what you think. If I were going to give a comparison, I think the one that fits most is Eric Hinsky.
Yeah. I think I could probably see that as a best case scenario working out for him. It might be too early to start throwing that on him because you still have to see whether or not he can take that next step and continue to evolve, because the best prospects are the ones that will continue to evolve and not just kind of stay where they are and become quad A players if they can even make it that far. But yeah, in a perfect world, I can see Genesta being at least Hinsky, maybe more.
I mean, I'm talking more about I'm talking about fourth outfielder Eric Hinsky, not when he was a starter with the Rays, or Devil Rays at the time, I should say. But that's a little bit, that's for future evaluations. We'll see what happens once this season gets underway. We'll see what Grayson can put together this year. No doubt that when we revisit this list next year, there's a potential for Grayson to drop a lot farther on this. And I don't want to sound mean to Grayson. That's just the way the prospect game goes. But speaking of the prospect game and hard knocks and bad luck, this next prospect that we got coming up after the break experienced his fair share of bad luck in 2019 after a scorching 2018. We'll get back right here after this. We'll move on to our number 17 prospect. Stick around through the break. We'll be right back.
Do you hate stepping on the scale? I know I do. Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings has produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale for 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for their durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Just step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't even have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you have to keep your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal, guys. You can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at Withings.com for a very limited time. Go to Withings.com, that's Withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. That's Withings, Withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale.
Welcome back, guys, to Locked On Braves, joined by my TPS partner, Doc Herbert. Kicking this into high gear, moving straight on to number 17, third base prospect CJ Alexander came out of nowhere in 2018 as a 20th round pick of, was it Florida College? It's like, it's not University of Florida. It's literally called like Florida College. It's
a State College of Florida.
Florida, some very, very tiny school. But CJ, the name Alexander sounds familiar. He does have good blood. His brother was a first round pick. I want to say Blaze was a first 11th round pick. Was he was Arizona?
A cost manipulation pick.
Arizona or Chicago?
Arizona.
Okay. That's what I thought. He's with Chicago now though, I think. I could be totally wrong about that, but I know his brother Blaze essentially is very fast, like his name dictates. But CJ, not without some good tools of his own, absolutely giant frame, and he has not filled it up. He's 6'5", listed at 215. I would hope when he comes back to playing, he is not 215 pounds on a 6'5 frame, because that to me is such wasted power potential. And like I would suggest there is a ton of room for him to add muscle.
Yeah, it's pretty lanky frame on somebody who's 6'5". You could conceivably see 10, 15, maybe 20 pounds going on top of that, too. Yeah, and when he came out of college, he still had power as one of his best tools, but it hasn't translated as much in the pro game, so it's kind of hard to know who he is, but if he adds a little bit more onto the frame, then yeah, you could definitely see him kind of tapping into. I wouldn't be surprised to see him if he made it to the big leagues, hitting 20 home runs a year. He's got that type of wrist and hand speed.
And he is kind of a weird enigma. You can't really look at his college stats because it's been almost the tale of two different players from his college days to his professional days. He's got a great eye at the plate. I mean, double-digit walk rates at four of his five spots. That's really good, especially now. Guys that have been in college for a while, their batter's eye should be better when they're, especially when they're facing younger competition. But double-digit walk rates are nothing to sneeze at. That's very good. That shows a guy that's willing to stay within himself. Especially at the lower levels of minor leagues where, how can I put this delicately? Umpires are not great. You might get rung up on a call that's 2 feet outside. But, you know, for CJ, he did have power in college, but none of that has translated to the pros. And even though he came on like absolute wildfire at his two rookie league stops in 2018, it wasn't really based in any power. It wasn't through homers. It really wasn't through many extra base hits, period. But it was enough to where he totally skipped Rome, which you don't see a ton of, especially for guys that are 20th round picks. Totally skipped Rome, went right to Florida, and had just a ton of hype coming into 2019. Our good buddy Gaurav Vadak over at Talking Chop is a notorious CJ Alexander homer. Unfortunately, I know he got hurt in 2019, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but if you look at the difference between his 2018 and his 2019 numbers, those are some serious differences.
Yeah, it's his 2019 was just kind of a mess. And when you look at his batting average on balls in play, he was carrying north of 400 at every level that he played at in 2018. So in addition to being old for the league, he also had some luck. Like you said, it wasn't a lot of home runs, wasn't even a lot of extra base hits. So I wouldn't fault somebody for wondering how much this 2018 was luck, but it overcorrected in 2019 because his batting average on balls in play was under 200 at both levels that he played at, which is just, you know, that's a massive overcorrection there. So you couple that with the fact that he was dealing with an elbow injury that caused him to lose some time. It was just kind of a lost year for him. So going into 2020, I have no idea what to expect out of him.
And 2020 is going to be different for him because there's a lot of other prospects who have started making their names in the system. And CJ, because 19 was lost and he essentially missed all of 2019 after having bone spurs removed from his elbow, kind of fell off the map a little bit. And that's kind of the way it happens with these prospects. I mean, if you're low and you start making a name for yourself, you have to be on the field to make that name. And I love his build. He's got a lot of raw power. But one of the reasons why it hasn't translated into games is, and this is just something that you're able to notice if you kind of watch video on him, he's got an extremely linear swing. There's not a lot of loft to it at all. It's mostly straight line. And in 2018, his batting stance was one of the most narrow stances I've ever seen. His feet were actually less than shoulder width apart, which, while that's generally good for being able to make contact, although they always teach you choke up and spread your feet when you're in two strike counts, being able to stand up straight and kind of narrow means he doesn't have a lot of head movement, but it doesn't do well as far as gathering and building power, which is why coming into 19, the Braves wanted to work on his batting stance, kind of open him up a little bit, spread him out a little bit so he could kind of reach some of that power. He's a big enough guy that he doesn't need to stand with his feet together to have a tall batting stance. He can kind of just do that naturally. I'll be interested to see what happens in 2020 now that he's had essentially a full year to work on the new stance. But that's kind of the biggest thing. There was some questions coming in about would he be able to hang at third or is he going to be a first baseman? And he's not the best defender at third base, but he's good enough to stay there. I mean, I haven't seen him a ton. You've probably seen a little bit more of him than I have. He's got good hands. He's not going to be the rangiest guy, obviously. He's not the quickest guy, but he's got good hands. He's got a good arm. It's accurate. I mean, he's looked fine at third base. He's not Austin Riley or Yoan Camargo, but it's good enough for the Braves to think that he could stay there.
And he doesn't have to be either of those guys. You know, as long as he goes out and he plays his game, you know, there is time for Alexander to come in and to clean it up on the defense, to develop the power. And who knows what his timeline is going to be coming into this year. They might send him back to Florida, which, as we discussed with Genesta, it's not really exactly a hitter's environment. So he's certainly got some things to work on both sides of the ball, but I'm still more inclined to buy into some of that 2018 hype and just consider 2018 kind of a gray spot on his ledger, and then just 2020, same way as Genesis. Huge year. Huge prove it year for him.
Yes. And he's got some really vocal fans in the scouting community. Now there's also a number of them that just never bought in at all. But one thing is for sure, if he has any hope of seeing the major leagues, especially with Atlanta, he's got to develop in-game power. You can't be at a corner spot if you don't have power. That's just the nature of the beast now. He's got to find a way to reach that in-game. If he doesn't do that, he'll never make it. If he does, then he's got a shot at being one of those guys that floats around for a few different teams. He's not a guy that I would pick to ever be like an all-star type of player. I don't know that I'd even really consider him like a fixture of any one team for about 10 years or so. But I've got him comped with Brandon Drury. If you guys aren't familiar, Brandon Drury, actually a former Braves farmhand, dealt to Arizona in the... Was that the Justin Upton deal?
That is correct.
Was that Martin Prado and Brandon Drury and Zach Godley?
Let's see.
Not Zach Godley. Who was the pitcher?
Randall Delgado.
Randall Delgado. Was Nick Ahmed part of that too?
Nick Ahmed was in that deal, and Chris Johnson.
That's right.
Came back to the Braves. Chris, in that deal, yeah.
Chris Johnson, Justin Upton, for a whole host of prospects. I would say that one worked out in favor of the Braves pretty well, but Arizona doesn't have a lot of good luck with trades. But for him to get to Drury, what you're looking at with Drury is a guy that can play multiple spots. Now Drury's a little bit more versatile. You're not going to see CJ play at second base. But he could definitely play third base, first base. Drury mostly plays third base when he's playing in the bigs. Drury's a guy that can put the bat on the ball pretty well. He's a bigger guy. Drury's bigger than you think. When you look at his home run totals, you think you're looking at more of a slap hitter guy, but Drury's put together well, about 6'3", about 215-ish, 220-ish. And it was really hard to find a comp for CJ because he's such a weird guy. The strikeout rate is mid-20s. The walk rate is double digits. He's big and tall, and he's at a corner. I almost wanted to comp him to DJ LeMahieu, but he's not LeMahieu defensively. It's a very weird comparison that I'm kind of hoping that once we get a little bit more of him, we can kind of see where he's going to fall a little bit more, because right now he's almost like a ball of clay. Like, you don't really know what he is right now, which makes it very hard to find a comparison.
Very well said. Yeah, and I wouldn't even know where to begin to comp him. The fact that you've got some elements of Drury and some elements of LeMahieu in there, I definitely see those. But as far as whether or not Alexander's going to turn into any of those, who knows? During this whole COVID standby that we're in, we could find out that something else is wrong with his elbow, and then what? You know what I mean? So there's still just so much going on with this that I want to see him come out in 2020 and really kind of establish himself and implement some of the things that he's been working on.
I think that's well said. Another thing that's well said is I think we've reached the end of the episode for today. So for those of you out there, again, sorry if I'm a little scatterbrained today. Did have some really awesome news. Really excited to share this journey. As we did say that, I don't know if, did I mention this in the first segment? That would Rob Manfred has stated that he's targeting May as an optimistic start point. Now, that doesn't mean that the season will start in May. We're looking at an abridged kind of revamping, probably about 4 weeks or so. So beginning in June looks like a time frame that we can kind of mark down as a time where we could see some baseball again.
Today being opening day, that is welcome news to my ears.
And absolutely.
This is kind of a best case scenario, but let's keep our fingers crossed and our hands washed.
Well, everybody out there, let's do what we're supposed to do so we can reach that best case scenario and we can get baseball back as soon as possible. I know you guys are ready for it. I know Doc is ready for it. I know I'm ready for it. I'm just ready to get this underway and get this going. Thank you guys for tuning in for today. When we come back tomorrow, we'll be counting down a few more, getting to our numbers 16 and 15. So after tomorrow, we will be officially halfway through the top 30. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Two very exciting players, two guys that Doc and I are extremely high on. But that being said, thank you guys for tuning in today. We'll be back again tomorrow, roughly the same time, definitely the same place, right here on Locked On Braves.